At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
One of the most common questions we get is, what should you think about before getting a prescription of TRT? These days, it's actually quite easy to get a script. There'll probably be commenters that say, it took me seeing four different doctors to get a prescription. All they needed to do is Google telemedicine TRT clinic, and they could have gotten a script. So now that that's out of the way, we can talk about risks and benefits. And what we try to do today is speak at a level that is just the basics and explain some of the common practice guidelines that may or may not be followed.
Yeah, so this is really for anyone who is thinking about TRT, has questions about what blood test should I get before TRT, do I need TRT, and this will give you a fair evaluation of what is commonly being done, what is the basic standard of care, and what we feel would be a better standard of care and a more thorough way to evaluate things prior to just blindly prescribing testosterone.
Welcome back to the Gillette Health Podcast, the Just the Basic series. Some people may say, health for dummies. I'm Dr. Kyle Gillette.
And I'm James O'Hara, nurse practitioner. So this is a new format. Frequently, we are probably talking over people's heads. And while we do enjoy getting very granular into topics, we realize we are probably missing a bulk of the general public in our efforts to educate people. So we have started a new series that will be Just the Basics. And foundational to Just the Basics, we will always start with a meme or a graphic due to all the feedback we have received saying that we should spend more time making memes and less time reading science.
Yeah, apparently all the time that we spend not making memes is a complete waste and does not contribute to society. And to your early point, I guess, unless you're in the less than 1% of the population that is as tall as I am talking over people's heads.
Haha, literally and figuratively. So what do we think about this diagram here? So this is, credit goes to ChatGPT for generating this art for the show. We have a blindfolded doctor obsessed with testosterone. He has a bottle of testosterone on his desk. He's saying testosterone. His calendar says it's the month of testosterone.
Yeah. My first thought is whatever he's doing seems to be working. He's in pretty good shape. And maybe he's on testosterone himself. Maybe he isn't. But regardless, it is very impressive to me. But this reminds me of both most conventional medicine doctors and also TRT clinic doctors. I think one of our most liked reels was when I told people how to get testosterone is you Google TRT clinic, and then you go to that clinic and you get testosterone.
It's a pretty simple flowchart, and you know, maybe there'll be some rollback and regulation there, but it's pretty easy right now. So we have the meme, because this is sort of the state of testosterone prescribing. After the meme, we follow like what the or what we think the average physician or PA or NP or naturopath, lots of people can prescribe testosterone. So what we think they're doing, and this just isn't our opinion. This is sort of a TRT clinic audit that was done by a colleague of ours, friend, Dr. Fantas, locally here.
Yes.
And his co-authors, of course. So this is not just our opinion. This appears to be really what is happening in this TRT telemedicine space.
And this is one of our favorite studies. And yes, we will have Dr. Fantas on the podcast. So we are very excited to do that. We were enthralled to find out he was local. And then we were even happier to find out he was very cool, because sometimes when you meet people that you are a fan of, it doesn't necessarily turn out like that.
Never meet your heroes, right? That's the saying.
Some of them turn out to be really cool and some of them don't. And some of them are very similar to how you think they would be based on the scientific literature they published in his case, or based on the podcast they do, I suppose, or both, if you do both of those things.
Yeah. So I suppose we can, you know, break this chart down and people can probably, you know, pause and review this. But the main thing that I notice is lacking is just taking a history. And I assume this means also there was not like a form completed with a like an Adams questionnaire asking about symptoms. So some clinics are skimping on even an intake form. It's good to have some information going into your patient visit. Even though people, when they go to a traditional doctor's office, you know, have the experience of filling out the same information three times. It's like, why am I doing this? In certain cases, like if it's targeted and it adds value to the visit, then there are reasons for that. But we can zoom in on the left-handed side there and kind of scroll down about like what they did or did not check. So the platform number one, these were anonymous. They didn't like name and shame them. Didn't check for any symptoms, a medical history, a surgical history. Didn't check about, you know, future fertility is another thing that sort of jumps out. Not necessarily ever, but like establishing a timeline on if and when that might be a consideration. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. And maybe you can provide some context. The secret shopper did list some of their lab values going in. So we know, okay, this is the person that, like, these are the labs they were evaluating when they were talking with this person.
Yes, the secret shopper did give his information. He was male, and his total testosterone was around 700 nanograms per deciliter, and he did desire future fertility. Interestingly, he did not note, the authors, I suppose, did not note how long each call took. I would assume each call is about 5 minutes, whether it's a call or a video call. Only one of the clinics asked about his desire for future fertility, and only one of the clinics asked about cardiovascular history. And as you noted, most of them did not ask about his low energy or low libido, which he did have in this hypothetical situation.
Yeah, and the free testosterone was listed at 10. If this was just a direct free testosterone, then it was perhaps inaccurate. We don't know what a sex hormone binding globulin was. And maybe I'm talking beyond the scope of this podcast here. So basically, normal range of testosterone, think 300 to 1,000 plus or minus, looking at whatever reference range and lab. But he's basically in the upper half of the reference range for his total testosterone, top 50th percentile. And his free testosterone would be, you know, probably below the 50th percentile, so the lower half of normal, but still a normal testosterone level. And they're just seeing, how are these clinics approaching care for a person with normal levels?
Yeah. Interestingly, the one clinic out of either 7 or 8 that did not offer testosterone therapy offered several other things, apomorphine or APO, which is in Ruggier Reddy and other sexual health optimization trogies. Also CJC 1295, which increases growth hormone. Also ipamorelin, which also increases growth hormone via ghrelin. That's binds the receptor that ghrelin does that makes you hungry. Also oxytocin, which is what PIT is that they give during pregnancy. It's kind of a love and connection hormone. Also tadalafil, which is generic Cialis. So although they did not offer testosterone, they offered a lot of other things. It was about half and half. Some clinics offered intramuscular testosterone. A couple clinics offered transdermal testosterone. And one actually offered oral troches, which are fast in and fast out, which I thought was kind of interesting, but they didn't discuss the doses that was offered. Rather, they gave reference ranges of what is optimal.
Their sort of goals, yeah. And I think oral troche is a bit of a misnomer because it would be like a sublingual or a buccal troche, mm-hmm. unless perhaps the provider they saw literally didn't understand what they were offering the patient. A troche is like a lozenge, so you tend to let it dissolve under the tongue or in between the cheek and the gum where there's a lot of blood vessels. And it's almost like if you put a drug into a vein, it goes into the bloodstream very quickly, but it's also out of the system very quickly, as you alluded to, in case people aren't familiar with a troche or a troche.
Mm-hmm. So that's the average physician or PA or NP in alternative medicine. But if you go to an endocrinologist or an insurance-based physician, you know, let's say you get into their algorithm, which is usually two levels below 300 nanograms per deciliter. We'll go through this guideline-based therapy in a second. But are they doing anything significantly different than this, or are they just doing a lot of intramuscular testosterone still?
Yeah, they're primarily going to be offering intramuscular testosterone. You probably do get a better history taken, although it may just be, you know, you talking with their medical assistant to get the medical history and fill out your forms and that kind of thing. And we know that people don't always disclose everything until they are face-to-face with the doctor, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes those things are like, oh, by the way, I didn't want to say this in front of the nurse or yep. the MA. But they're taking a more thorough history. They may not have much more face-to-face time. It still may be 5 or 10 minutes. And they're going to be prescribing much less aggressively. I would think they probably screen for fertility timelines a little bit more often than the telemedicine. But they may also sort of say, well, if you ever go on testosterone, then you can never have fertility again. Literally, yeah. patients have been told this, and then, you know, we have to unwind some of this myth when we're sitting down and having these discussions. So the, I guess, myth and truth section, that's another facet of this, just the basic series. The myth is testosterone causes permanent infertility. The truth is testosterone can cause a reversible infertility. It's not birth control. So mm-hmm. it's not going to 100% guarantee you do not conceive.
Yeah. You could also say if you are infertile or subfertile before testosterone therapy, it will certainly not make you more fertile. And if you're infertile before, then you need to and should figure out why and address that before starting replacement therapy, except in very rare causes where perhaps you do nasal testosterone, which we don't need to get into in the scope of this video.
Yeah. And I guess before we go down the treatment algorithm, I guess what order do we want to do this? Do we want to go down the AAFP algorithm and then talk about yes. what the intramuscular dosing looks like? Yeah. Or talk about the intramuscular dosing and then go through the algorithm?
Yeah, let's go down the algorithm. So we took this from the American Academy of Family Physicians, and they do often recommend testosterone replacement therapy. They actually state the main benefit is libido, sex drive, which I thought was interesting. They didn't think that metabolic benefits or other reasons were warranted.
And this is slide 17.
Yep. The first part of the dichotomous tree, which is just where you, the first split off is, do they have signs and symptoms? So this is excellent. They also say morning testosterone measurement. It does not have to be fasted. I like that as well.
However, this is maybe a finer detail, but I do recommend having this fasted because if you have a specifically sugar-sweetened beverage, I know there was a paper where people were given this glucose challenge. They had a lot of sugar, and then many times that pushed them below the threshold of having hypogonadal testosterone. So maybe I'm making things too complicated again. And I've heard you say, like, you know, someone is like, well, how do you even get your doctor to check your testosterone? Because they tell me no. Mm. And I think you, if I remember right, said, you know, something has changed that you don't feel the same you did when you were, you know, 20 or 30 with regard to, you know, energy or libido or some things like that that are, you know, testosterone deficiency symptoms that would be picked up on the Adams questionnaire and so forth.
Yeah, certainly. And you could make a case that if you're checking a testosterone, you should probably be checking a fasting insulin, which is what drives glucose in. Insulin goes up after you eat. And high insulin or insulin resistance, when insulin has been high for a long time, is arguably the most common cause of low total testosterone. So it is something to look at. If you have a very low insulin and you're very insulin sensitive, then your total testosterone could actually look high, but your free testosterone could be low, and that can drive symptoms as well. So this is a good start to the tree. Their arbitrary cutoff, pretty similar to the urologist, which is the AUA, is 300. So you can have a total testosterone of 301 a couple different times. And some doctors, even 280, 290, they consider normal. But you have to have a number somewhere. I think it makes sense to look at that. So that's the guideline. We also think that you should look at free testosterone and SHBG, which is what binds up total testosterone.
Yeah, and as we continue down here, so let's say you are following this flow chart down to the bottom. You're that person where you did have a low borderline testosterone level of, say, it's 250. Mm-hmm. But they want to repeat it again because, you know, you don't want to necessarily make a important treatment decision just based off of a single one-off lab value, and you check it again. It may be higher, maybe lower, but let's say, okay, it is below 300. You check it again, and then they're saying, okay, now we've established that there is a low testosterone. Now let's measure LH and FSH.
Wait a second. All of these tests cost less than $5 to do, even if your insurance does not cover them. Labs on our website, by the way, a shameless plug. So why wouldn't you just do all of them instead of check, recheck, keep going to the doctor in person and waste all that time while you're having these symptoms?
Yeah, and even though this is an AAFP, American Academy of Family Physicians, so this is your sort of front line of primary care, if they don't want to deal with testosterone or they don't want to do testosterone patients, they may be referring to urology. And then what's the timeline here? You have, so now three separate blood draws you're having.
Three specialist copays.
Yeah. And
a month maybe in they have, between each, probably 2 months to wait to get into a specialist. I believe Dr. Fantas has a 8 or 9 month wait list to get in.
Yeah. So as far as the access to care and the timeline there, like you're going to be trying to figure this out over at least a 3 to 4 month time period. So assuming that you do fall into a primary hypogonadism category, if you fall into a secondary hypogonadism category, then, you know, there may be, you know, even more. And something really interesting here to me with looking at a, you know, high LH and FSH, these are the signals that get sent from the, I'll say, brain to the testes to stimulate testosterone production. There's not a mention of varicocele here, which is probably more common than a chromosomal abnormality.
That's the same thing I thought. Any sort of testicular damage often leads to high LH and FSH. Again, those are the signals that the brain, specifically the pituitary, sends down. And if they're low, that's why you do a pituitary MRI to look for damage. Has there been trauma? Is there a tumor, even a benign tumor, growing there? With, you know, let's say you have one testicle. You had a torsion, or it was undescended and then was damaged from the heat in the body. LH and FSH are often very high in those cases as well.
Yeah. So that's their sort of flow chart. A, you know, varicocele is a vein that doesn't drain appropriately.
Varicose vein.
Yeah, varicose vein in the scrotum. You know, and some people, you know, they have these, they don't know what they are. It's historically, like in the textbooks you'll read, it's like a bag of worms or like spaghetti. So that's what you would feel on palpation. So maybe this algorithm, giving people the benefit of the doubt, assumes a scrotal exam with every low testosterone case.
Often not noticeable if they're a lower grade varicocele, unless you stand up in Valsalva, they're often not noticed.
Yeah, and testicular atrophy, you know, maybe they're looking for that. But in any case, I mean, you would get an ultrasound to know for sure because, you know, the physical exam has more or less gone away, even in the traditional medical setting, and more imaging tests are done, which is good and bad. It's more precise, but then skills do decrease in terms of performing the physical exam.
Certainly. I suppose we can move on to the other part of the standard of care is your most common and most classically prescribed testosterone is Depo testosterone. It's a Pfizer product. And a lot of providers would look at the package insert to get information about dosing a hormone. So how would that help someone if they're looking at the package insert?
Yeah, so this tells you about, typically, you would think, the range of dosages that were studied in the clinical trials that led to the approval of this product. And, you know, anything within that dosing range is considered normal and on label. And, you know, different people require different doses of different medications. So here you have the Depo testosterone package insert, which states for replacement in the hypogonadal male, 50 to 400 milligrams should be administered every 2 to 4 weeks. So it's a pretty broad range. What would you say is the most common prescription that's out there right now? So thinking of everything telemedicine, everything in person, everything in between, what are most people recommending?
200 milligrams of testosterone cypionate or testosterone enanthate, either every 1 week or every 2 weeks. Or if the provider at the telemedicine clinic that they're working at listens to More Plates, More Dates or Huberman Lab, then they'll probably do something like 40 to 50 milligrams twice a week, or maybe even 40 milligrams three times a week. But that's certainly not most common, although it is much more common than it was 5 years ago, certainly.
Yeah, that's for sure. This sort of like evaluation of what the blood levels are and do you want more hormone stability or more hormone instability. Yep. I think that's on the mind of a lot of forward-thinking clinicians that are out there doing this.
We're going to do a deep dive into this topic for the next episode, which we'll link to this one. It'll be a series. But the package insert actually states 50 to 400 milligrams every 2 to 4 weeks. And we'll show you some of the studies, how they came up with this, and how much the levels really vary if you prescribe it like this. The other thing I thought was interesting was the suggested dosage was based on age and sex of the individual.
Yeah, and then they do clarify below that they say this is the, for the hypogonadal male, this is the dosing range. There's still no FDA-approved testosterone for women. That doesn't mean that women can't be prescribed testosterone. That just means that it hasn't gotten a FDA approval, even though women produce testosterone and, in fact, more testosterone milligram per milligram than they do estradiol, if you were to measure it circulating in the bloodstream. So I think it's interesting. And the value I think we can really give to people is, let's say you're looking at this treatment algorithm and you're like, I don't want to be scheduling three doctor's visits over the next 3 months. You can get your own comprehensive labs and you can take those to your primary care provider.
Yes.
Get them drawn at the appropriate time. I think 8 to 10 a.m. is what the guidelines said there. You can get a referral to a urologist who will know to look at all of these things. And
generally better going with the urologist than an endocrinologist. There's certainly exceptions, but in general, that's the case.
Yeah.
Unless you're a female, then that's not the case. Anyways, that is a good takeaway. Another takeaway is, depending on your situation, most males are better injecting between 1 and 3 times a week, not every 2 to 4 weeks. And most females are better off if they are injecting about every 1 week, sometimes twice a week.
Yeah. And on our panel on the website, we have things in addition to the LH and the FSH. You'll have your sex hormone binding globulin, so you'll be able to calculate a free testosterone. If you just Google free testosterone calculator, that's pretty self-explanatory. We also check a prolactin up front and check iron studies up front, which are rare but still not uncommon causes of yes. issues of testosterone production. So you're sort of checking off all those boxes and giving the specialist all the information they might need in order to make a decision short of yep. imaging tests.
You check your thyroid hormones, all of them. Mm-hmm. You also check your estradiol, which is your main estrogen. So you have a pretty comprehensive picture of what your hormonal profile looks like. And then in addition to that, you also check your lipid profile, your metabolic profile, your complete blood count, so your red blood cells, your platelets. So if the provider does want to start you on testosterone replacement or naturally optimized testosterone, we'll have a good way forward for that.
Yeah, you have your baseline and then you can know how things change. And we'll talk more about that in the next episodes of this series where we talk about the different forms, pros and cons of each form,
natural side optimization,
effects, benefits, yeah, where to start, all that stuff, more to come. So I suppose please let us know what you thought about this format. If you or someone you know was prescribed testosterone, we would love to hear what the interaction and process looked like, whether it was telemedicine or whether it was an in-person visit. If anyone is still going in and getting an injection every 2 weeks, we'd love to know how that process looks and whether you like that or dislike that. So we want to hear about all those things to help us get a sort of pulse of what's going on in the testosterone replacement space. Out in the traditional system, I suppose.
Yeah. Please let us know your horror stories and please let us know your successes as well that might help other people. We'll include them in future Q&A episodes. And please stay tuned for a complete series on the different forms of testosterone, natural optimization, and more basics. As always, we thank you for your time and may God give you health and happiness.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.